Good morning, Bill Lynch with a CBS World News Roundup. Despite continued rumbling of big guns around Sarajevo, there is a glimmer of good news this morning in Yugoslavia with word from the French foreign minister that agreement has been reached in principle to make the shell-shocked Bosnian capital an open city. Sean McCorrig is in Paris.
Rulo Duma says he secured agreement from the heads of state of the Rump Yugoslavia, Croatia, and Bosnia-Herzegovina. All of those will from now on recognize Sarajevo as an open city. According to the agreement, they'll pull any troops they have back to a 20-mile radius. But the Bosnian Serbs, the ones doing most of the shelling in the town, weren't in on the deal.
But they might go along if the city's Muslim defenders give up their heavy weapons. UN envoy Cyrus Vance and his European community partner David Owen are in Belgrade to press the Bosnian peace process with Serb president and alleged war criminal Slobodan Milosevic. Louise Branson sets the scene.
Vance and Owen will tell Milosevic that if the Geneva peace talks, which resume on Sunday, fail this time, he is likely to face increased diplomatic and economic isolation, and also the Bosnian Serbs will face outside military intervention, beginning with the enforcement of the no-fly zone over Bosnia. Nobody knows what Milosevic is going to do next, but there is some feeling that he does feel that now may be the time to start playing ball with the UN and the European community.
Milosevic told reporters he will, quote, support any plan which would bring peace to Bosnia. President Bush seems to be rounding up the anti-Saddam posse again. As Randall Pinkston is told at the White House, Washington is pressing for an ultimatum to Baghdad to remove air defense missiles from southern Iraq or else.
Administration officials confirmed that discussions are underway to issue a warning to Iraq to remove its surface-to-air missiles along the 32nd parallel or suffer consequences. What is unclear at this point is exactly what the retaliatory action might be. We are told that the warning will be delivered at the United Nations, probably not in the form of a formal United Nations warning, more likely an informal communication from the U.S., Great Britain and France, the three nations enforcing the no-fly zone.
In Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, Somali faction leaders have agreed in principle to a national reconciliation conference to be held in April in Mogadishu, and they've now turned to discussing a wider ceasefire. Another Somali gunman has been killed by U.S. Marines in a town west of Mogadishu, Navy Commander Jim Cudla explains.
A Marine reconnaissance patrol was fired upon in the vicinity of Afgoya. They returned fire and hit one of the gunmen. They began to transport him back to Mogadishu, but he died en route.
The grounded tanker Breyer has now begun breaking up off Scotland's Shetland Islands. Earlier, six pollution-fighting planes began spraying the surrounding seas with dispersant chemicals. Environmentalist Jonathan Wills told us about damage to wildlife.
90 seabirds, including some loons and some old squaw, and many species familiar to people in North America. Those have been found dead on the beaches. There are hundreds of other birds with a sort of milk chocolate coloration on their breasts where they ought to be white. And they are not dying yet, but they will die because when they start to preen, they'll get the stuff inside them.
A cargo ship sank off the coast of Greece today. The body of one of its 17 Russian and Greek crewmen has been recovered. The rest are missing. Four suspected IRA firebombs went off in London shopping areas today. Nobody was hurt. It's 4 minutes past the hour. President-elect Bill Clinton reportedly is preparing a statement making it easier for Haitians to apply for asylum in the U.S., hoping to head off an expected surge of boat people when he takes office. Sources say Mr. Clinton does not want a refugee crisis to dominate his early agenda. One possible option, bribing Haiti's top military officers to go into exile, allowing ousted President Jean-Bertrand Aristide to return. Mr. Clinton's election becomes official this afternoon when a joint session of Congress counts the electoral votes. Also today, the Senate begins vetting the Clinton cabinet, starting with Commerce Secretary-designate Ron Brown. As Rob Armstrong tells us, his Washington insider status has positives and negatives.
Brown will face questions about the lobbying activities of his law firm and about some of the clients the firm represented, including the government of Haiti. John Danforth of Missouri is the ranking Republican on the committee.
The fact that a lawyer has represented a client, even a Washington-type lawyer, has represented a client, to me, is not a detriment to serving in public office.
Danforth says his biggest concern is the list of highly restrictive ethics rules put together by the Clinton transition team.
They are so tightly written that the effect is going to be that a variety of people, I think, are going to have to think twice about going into government.
Danforth believes Brown will be confirmed by the Senate, and he adds that he believes a president should, in most cases, be able to have the people he wants in key positions. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Mr. Clinton meets in Little Rock today with Detroit's big three carmakers and the head of the UAW. Barry Magnotto has that.
Candidate Bill Clinton said there should be an economic strategy just for the auto industry. Today, President-elect Clinton underlines his interest in putting U.S. carmakers back on the road by sitting down with the big three executives and with United Auto Workers Union President Owen Bieber. As spokesman George Stephanopoulos notes, the meeting comes at a key time.
Obviously, the governor has a lot of decisions coming up with NAFTA, with the entire economic package that will affect the auto industry. They requested the meeting and wanted to hear what they had to say.
NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, is supported by automakers but looked upon warily by job-protecting unions. Mr. Clinton sits in the middle, backing the plan but wanting changes strengthening labor and environmental standards. What he hears today may determine how strongly he pursues those changes when he discusses the agreement with Mexico's President Salinas on Friday. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, with the president-elect, Little Rock.
2 weeks before he leaves office, President Bush this morning has sent Congress a bare-bones budget for fiscal 1994 to be replaced later by a Clinton budget. The Wall Street Journal reports the Bush estimate for the SNL bailout is down by $10 billion. The Wall Street Journal has priced out the taxpayers tab for Vice President Quayle's post-Christmas golf outing with two friends in Scottsdale, Arizona. It cost at least $15,000 for Air Force Two and other expenses. He's back. Donna Alday reports from KRLD Dallas.
The presidential campaign is over, but Ross Perot's political involvement is not. The Texas billionaire who drew millions of voters last fall is kicking off a huge membership drive for his group, United We Stand. Perot spokeswoman Sharon Holman.
Ross Perot will be highly visible, and not only as the national chairman of United We Stand America, but also as our national spokesman.
On the agenda, national TV appearances on news talk shows, a visit with his old friend Larry King, and a deluge of TV and radio ads, telling voters how they can call an 800 number and join his grassroots political movement. Donna Alday for CBS News, Dallas.
It's 8 minutes past. Gunmen in ski masks stole as much as $10 million last night from the Brinks Armored Car Depot in Rochester, New York. Police suspecting a possible inside job have been questioning employees. The Veterans Affairs Department says about 4,000 vets who were subjected to secret mustard gas tests in World War II may now be eligible for compensation. The VA has expanded the list of recognized long-term effects of significant exposure to the gas. On Wall Street, the Dow is ahead a fraction at 3308.12. It's 10 past the hour.